No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you, with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary, based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Hey, what's up, y'all? Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. My favorite thing about the holidays? Decking out my whole house. It's not a competition, but if it was, well, I'd win the season with Wayfair. Outdoor inflatable Santa? Got it on Wayfair. Trees, lights, and ornaments? Wayfair. Hosting must-haves like dining sets, beds, sheets, and towels? Wayfair. For everything in your style delivered with fast and free shipping, visit Wayfair.com or the Wayfair app to win the season. But again, it's not a competition.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
If you're the purchasing manager at a manufacturing plant, you know having a trusted partner makes all the difference. That's why, hands down, you count on Grainger for auto reordering. With on-time restocks, your team will have the cut-resistant gloves they need at the start of their shift. And you can end your day knowing they've got safety well in hand. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Time for the 49ers Rush Podcast. And here's your host, John Chapman.
What is going on, faithful? I hope you are hyped. We're doing a hype show. It's me. It's the man, Ant, from 49ers Cutback. How are you, Ant? How are we doing today, man?
I'm doing great. You know, there is a lot of hype around 49ers players right now, and I'm excited to go through and talk about these players and kind of gauge where it's at, because I don't think I've ever seen so much conversation about OTA practices as I am right now. OTAs is the new training camp. So I don't know what training camp is going to be when it comes to hype. It's hilarious, but I even seen in Minnesota, they broke down JJ McCarthy's reps completely of what he's doing throwing the football. It's becoming comical at this point, but it's so much fun that I know it's going to be a fun thing to talk about.
I think this is not in my notes. I'm shooting from the hip here. Let's just get off topic and go crazy here. I think that the machine that is 49ers content creators, and I know we're a part of that. I'm not trying to say that in a negative, but we've dealt with so much social media, you know, quarterback controversy, just name it, all that stuff. And so now that everything's kind of settled, it's like, well, we got to find something. And we're getting McCorkle Jones highlights on the Twitter line. And it's just like, let's see how far the rabbit hole goes in Morpheus talk, right? One of my favorite things that is happening is we're getting spotlights on players that maybe should not have the spotlight on them. But hey, I'll take it. We're getting Austin Pleasants. We're getting Jordan Watkins. We're getting D Winners. We're getting Teron Jackson. Like, I'm not mad about that. I actually like that part.
Yeah, I do too. You know, I think it's interesting when you can go to training camp and already know the guys who are on the 91-man roster. That makes everything a little bit more enjoyable, especially when you get into the preseason. How many, you know, normal fans shut off the preseason games after the first quarter because they don't know who those other players are? Well, this gives an opportunity to shed light on some of those guys. And that way, when someone does pop up and makes some big time plays during the preseason, you're like, hey, I know who that guy is. I know the background. And that's why, John, so, you know, you doing the player breakdowns, you know, these, the 91 player episodes is fantastic because you shed a light on their stories, who they are, what they're doing. So hopefully everyone checks those out. Those are a lot of fun, a lot of detail that you and your team put into the, you know, to those episodes. So that's what gets me excited. And then now the media is kind of jumping in on that and putting, you know, a spotlight on some guys that it's going to be fun to watch. Are these guys going to make the team? I don't know. But some of them are. And I think that that's a fun part of the 49ers is just getting to know all those guys. And as fans, we do fall in love with guys who, I mean, it was Quantrez Knight for me a couple years ago, right? Like, I just love the player. He never made the 49ers roster, but I just love the player.
Dude, he was the man. He was just so freaking fun and so much energy. It just made plays every single time at training camp. It just wasn't enough. The small body frame and all that stuff. And yeah, I wonder Jalen Mahoney, because you know, we get another OTA report. And guess what? Jalen Mahoney, he's out there making plays. I know you were real high on Jalen Mahoney too. And like, he's one of those guys, man, you've got all these safety issues, right? Malik Mustafa, Jair Brown with the ankle. Like, you've got all these safeties. Somebody got to play. And we saw Jalen Mahoney last year. He wasn't even on our list, but let's go. Let's do some Jalen Mahoney talk, Ant. Is there a realistic possibility that this dude that is just, man, he's like Honey Badger-esque at practice. He's everywhere. He's tiny. He's not fast. But the dude is just by the ball, whether it's pass, run, whatever. Don't tell him he's just one of the smallest guys on the roster. He don't care. He's going to get mixed up in there. And when we had game time with him last year, dude balled out, got a pick, broke his arm, and went back to, you know, IR, but they brought him back. Where does he fit in this? Is he the next Alex Barrett, where it's just, this is just a workout warrior practice type guy, or does he have a real shot?
You know, in the box, he's a guy that just operates pretty well. He came up last year, especially in training camp, a lot during the preseason, and made some really good tackles and run fits. And I think that was an avenue to help him kind of have a chance to make this football team. But I do have some question marks about him in coverage. And I think that's one of the things about Jalen Mahoney that's going to make it difficult. Plus, they went out and they got a bunch of guys too. And I think that what they've created on this roster is not just a competition when it comes to defense, but that second, third special teams is going to be huge as well. Jalen Mahoney had a couple of errors last year in special teams. I think if he would have shored those things up, he's got a chance, but this safety room went deep. They've got Jair Brown. He'll be back from injury. Malik Mustafa, Richie Grant, you know, and then you got Justin Pinnick, your rookie Marcus Siegel. I think it's tough. You know, I think these guys do get squeezed out. I think Jalen Mahoney possibly could end up on the 49ers practice squad. I think it would be tough for him to make the team with the depth and only really four roster spots. And we didn't even mention a guy like George Odom, who has a special teams chance to make the team as well.
Yeah, and you know, it's funny, the roster countdown like consumes a very large portion of my life for, you know, 2.5 months, and I appreciate the kind words you said, but like, one of my favorite things is, you know, we track where they were and where they are. So like, Jalen Mahoney bumped up 17 spots. He's not even close to the 53 still, but like, that's the journey. And so whenever we talk about some of these guys that are, you know, you bring in Malik Knowles, right? Like, you bring in Sam O. You bring in, you know, these guys that are discarded that other teams didn't even want. And there's two ways to look at these players. One is, probably not going to make the roster. Two, might be able to make the roster in 2 years. You know what I mean? Like, if they could stick around and learn the system and work on their and develop, might be able to get to that role. And so I have excitement in that. And I know you as a coach, like, you're working with kids now. And so you start to, this is where you develop and you improve long-term. And so if guys like Jalen Mahoney can hang around alligator blood, right? Like, get to that point where, hey, you don't know, because you might stack injuries at a position. This year they loaded up on safeties, but that might not be the case next year. And with somebody that practices so hard all the time, it's easy just to be like, oh, there he is. You see him out there. And now he's got a new jersey, number 38. He's got the old Demo jersey. So, curious to see where that's going to land him. But I like me some Jalen Mahoney. I'm glad we threw that in there. I appreciate you humoring me. You go with the player, Ant. Give us a guy that's getting some OTA hype that we could shed some light on, whether it's justified or calm down just a little bit, everybody.
Yeah, it's got to be Austin Pleasance. I've been getting a lot of emails and messages about Austin Pleasance, the offensive tackle. And, you know, people are asking me, is Austin Pleasance a realistic option to overtake Colt McKivitz? Is he going to be the swing tackle? And you know what? I think this one is very interesting because you've got a big guy. I mean, he's 6'6", you know, 6'7". He's really big, over 330 pounds, and he's moving pretty well at OTAs. And I think that's what's getting people's attention that are there. But this is there's a long ways to go for Austin Pleasance. And the 49ers signed him last year. He's going to have a really good understanding of this offense and what's expected from Coach Chris Forster. But we got to let this thing develop because this is a guy that's been a journeyman around the league. He's got a lot of opportunity, but he's also got to prove a lot on the field. So I get the conversation when you see a big guy like this move the way that he does. It gets you excited. But Colt McKivitz improved so much last year from the year before. I don't think that they really want to move off Colt McKivitz, and I don't think they want to move off that right side being Dominic Pooney and Colt McKivitz together. So I do think Austin Pleasance is going to be in the competition for swing tackle. They released Nicholas Petit-Ferrer. That's probably a good sign for Austin Pleasance. But they still have Andre Dillard. They still have been playing Spencer Burford at tackle, which is kind of interesting as well. And so they've got some guys there that are in competition. So I don't know. I don't know, John, I don't know what you saw in your film work of what you think of Austin Pleasance and if you think this is, you know, a little bit of hype or a lot of reality.
Man, he's different. As soon as you just look at him, you're like, oh, we're in Trent Brown territory. Like, this guy does not fit what the 49ers offensive guys usually look like. I mean, 6'7", 330. This dude is, and the feet match. That's the negative, right? So, like, you have this length, you have this size, you have this weight. But, man, there were, you know, he played 67 snaps last year. Three games played, and man, the very first time I saw a stunt come his way, I was like, get this dude off the field. Like, it was just like, yikes, this is so bad. But one-on-one, all right, he gets some movement in the run game. You know, he's hard to get around the edge, like all that stuff. It's just, this dude can't redirect. Those feet, they need some work. I mean, this is a guy that was on not one, not two, not three, but seven teams practice squads before he got to the 49ers. But they did like what they saw because you got him some last year in those horrible games where everybody was injured. And we were just literally, Ant was the backup tackle out there for week, you know, whatever, 18. So can he develop into that? I like the fact that they said, hey, Nicholas Petit-Frere, you're huge, you're large, you have bad feet. We already have this guy in-house. Let's go with, you know, Austin Pleasance over that. And it's, you know, I had them close. They're both in the 80s for me. Like, we just did the Nicholas Petit-Frere. They cut him the next day. Maybe we need to give him some more positive on the show because he got waived like right after we did the show. But like, they're two of the same cloth, huge, large, and just they got to work on the feet. They got to work on redirection. I'm saying pump the brakes big time. Like, I think that it would be a monumental win if Austin Pleasance is on the practice squad. I'm not even sure he's going to be that guy personally, but they brought in no competition. Andre Dillard, I think, is going to be the number three. Maybe Spencer Burford. Then you have a large gap. And shout out to Jacob Gordon. I could see the Macho Man Randy Savage gif.
Yeah,
let the cream rise to the, like, you know what I mean? Rise to the, like, I love it, man. It got the fingers and everything. I love it, Jacob. So, John, who is the one surprise player to unexpectedly make the team, or you can go the other way, be a surprise cut? I did not have this prepared. I did not have this prepared. But you and I mentioned a player that I think we both like, one of the newest addition, Chaz Surratt. This guy, I really like me some Chaz, man. Talk to me just a little bit. You did, and for everybody watching, on Ant's Patreon, 49ers Cutback Patreon, he is going through and doing breakdowns on all the new addition players, which, man, you got your work cut out for you because, good Lord, they have added a lot. And you just did one on Chaz Surratt. So I'm very curious to hear what you have to say about him.
Yeah, you know, it was very interesting. I remember breaking down Chaz Surratt when he came out of college, and it was such an interesting player because he had played a quarterback. You know, this is a guy that played, was a really good quarterback in high school, and even came to North Carolina and played quarterback. And then he translated to linebacker and went from quarterback to being a, you know, all ACC player. It was incredible just the transformation that he had. This is a dude that's completely twitched up. The skill level through the roof when it comes to athleticism and all of those things. The parts that he was still picking up was his ability to have the instincts to get downhill and be able to make plays. And what I saw was from what I watched with his film at North Carolina, because I went and watched some more of that, to what he did with the Jets, is I saw a player that consistently got better every single year he played for Robert Saleh. Now, there are still some holes in his game, but he is hyper-athletic. He's able to run with anyone, the sideline-to-sideline speed. And he's one of those guys that when his instincts are right and he gets downhill, it's a negative play for the offense. That's how good he can be. The question is he going to be consistent? So this is a guy that's going to have highlight plays during training camp. You're going to hear about Chaz Surratt. Highlight plays there, highlight plays in preseason. He's going to make something happen because his athleticism is just through the roof. But can it be consistent? If he can be consistent, he can be a contributor to this 49ers team, and he can even push some of the top linebackers on this team. That's how athletically gifted he is. But I'm curious. I do think that this is also a Brant Boyer move because I think he's going to be very impactful on special teams where we saw guys like Jalen Graham and Tatum Bethune struggle last year. Chaz Surratt is a proven commodity for Brant Boyer and for Robert Saleh. I think he's going to be a consistent contributor, special teams, and maybe some on defense, depending on how quickly a guy like Nick Martin is able to translate to the NFL game.
This episode is brought to you by Prize Picks. It's the holiday season, the best time of the year for sports, bowl games, basketball matchups, playoff pushes. It's all happening at once. And while you and I are out here making decisions every day, what gifts to buy, what to eat, which game to watch, there is one place where it feels good to be right, Prize Picks. My favorite thing about Prize Picks is picking multiple sports in the same lineup. With basketball back, I could put Steph Curry and Christian McCaffrey in the same lineup for both. And a new feature alert on Prize Picks now has early payouts. If your lineup gets off to a hot start, you may now have the option to cash out those winnings before the game even finishes. Prize Picks is simple to play. Just pick more or less on at least two player stats. If you get your picks right, you could cash in. George Kittle, more or less 58.5 receiving yards. Juwan Jennings, more or less 46.5 receiving yards. Ricky Pearsall, more or less than 4 receptions. It's that simple. So, download the Prize Picks app today. Use code 49ers to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. That's code 49ers to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. Prize Picks. It's good to be right. Whether you're new to cigars or a seasoned pro, Cigars International makes it easy to find the right cigar with helpful guides, staff reviews, and expert advice. And it's not just about cigars. Cigars International also offers a wide range of accessories, humidors, and more to elevate your smoking experience. Now, it's football season, and there's nothing more perfect for tailgating with your buddies or enjoying at home while watching the game. And with fast, free shipping and their 100% satisfaction guarantee, you can shop with confidence knowing that Cigars International stands behind every order. So use code 49ers, that's 49ERS at checkout, for 20% off your order of $50 or more, plus free shipping. Or visit CigarsInternational.com/49ers and the discount will automatically apply. You got a buddy's birthday coming up and you don't know what to get them? Cigars International. You got Christmas gifts that people keep asking, what do you want? What do you want? You tell them. Go to CigarsInternational.com/49ers and get your gift there.
No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary. Based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Hey, what's up, y'all? Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. My favorite thing about the holidays? Decking out my whole house. It's not a competition, but if it was, well, I'd win the season with Wayfair. Outdoor inflatable Santa? Got it on Wayfair. Trees, lights, and ornaments? Wayfair. Hosting must-haves like dining sets, beds, sheets, and towels? Wayfair. For everything in your style delivered with fast and free shipping, visit Wayfair.com or the Wayfair app to win the season. But again, it's not a competition.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
If you're an HVAC technician and a call comes in, Grainger knows that you need a partner that helps you find the right product, fast and hassle-free. And you know that when the first problem of the day is a clanking blower motor, there's no need to break a sweat. With Grainger's easy-to-use website and product details, you're confident you'll soon have everything humming right along. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
My thing, I didn't know about Chaz. That dude was a lot. They wanted him to play basketball at UNC. Like, come on now. Like, you talk about the athleticism. You talk about just the what he brings to the table, energy. You know, I'm going back through special teams tape. That's the point of my life that I'm at, and I'm very thankful for that. Dude's got energy. Like, he is just going buck wild out there, and it's on silent all 22 special teams tape. You want to shake up the special teams room with Brant Boyer and kind of all the things going on and how terrible it's been here. Get some energy, get some pizzazz. So that's one of the players that I think could make this roster. And remember, in an offseason where, yeah, you did the three big contracts, but all the people you brought in, you didn't really pay a lot of guarantees. Like, he's got some guarantees, about $300,000, which is a considerable more than what other new players got that were brought in. So I think that that says something. So I like me some Chaz Surratt. We'll see what's going on there. Let's talk wide receivers, because by far my least favorite draft pick, and like, I hope I'm 1,000% wrong on this, was Jordan Watkins. Like, I did not like the tape whatsoever, but seems like there's a lot of buzz. What do you think about Jordan Watkins and what he's been able to put up on tape at OTA so far?
Yeah, I think what's interesting is kind of the conversation that's coming out of it. And they asked Brock Purdy about, Jordan Watkins as well. And Brock Purdy did a very good job of building up his teammate. You know, he's running short routes. He's running, you know, the intermediate routes and the vertical. I think there's, when you look at his body type, this is a fast guy who's not built like a small player. Him and Cowing kind of are different that way. Cowing is a little bit thinner and not quite as presentable when it comes to being a physical wide receiver. So Watkins is different that way. But we're breaking down like skills drills that he's doing at OTAs and doing their everyday drills, or what we call EDDs. And people are like, oh, look at how he gets out of his break. Like, let's wait a little bit. It doesn't look bad, but let's see how he translates to this team. Because one of the most difficult things for a wide receiver in a Kyle Shanahan offense is not just running routes and doing the things Kyle wants, but it's also blocking. They have no pads on. So that's going to be one of the key elements. Also, how is he going to create separation when guys like Bernardo Green and Diamondo Lenore are able to pull on him and push on him? Is he going to get redirected? What things are going to happen there? How's his strength when those things happen? So it's a little bit early for the Jordan Watkins hype train, but I'm excited that he's at least getting on people's radar and that maybe he can develop into something. He's still got to pick up this offense. We saw Jacob Cowing and Ricky Pearsall struggle lining up the wrong places. That was something that Brandon Ayuk struggled with as well. So when you're a rookie, there's a lot of moving parts. Let's give this guy some time, you know, to kind of develop. But I do like that there's some positive things. I just would say pump the brakes a little bit on Jordan Watkins is going to be that dude. I think we just got to wait and let him kind of work in, or we're going to be disappointed. You know, we're going to be disappointed when Jordan Watkins isn't making plays if we get overhyped right now. And I want this guy to be able to develop. But I was like you, John. I think out of the draft picks, this is one of those ones that I was a little bit more concerned about just watching his college film at Ole Miss.
Yeah, and you know, you listen to Shanahan, Lynch, you know, any of the pro personnel guys, you bring up Jordan Watkins, they talk combine. What are they doing out there right now? It's you know, you ain't got the pads on. Some guys are going to be, I don't know, at their best in that situation. How can he go against physicality like you talked about? So the preseason games, I think Jordan Watkins has the most to gain. And crazy juice, I want to be wrong about Jordan Watkins. Like, I want to be. I'm pulling for this dude. And he's got some elite traits, elite skill sets that should translate that the 49ers don't have. He catches the deep ball. Like, that's his signature trait, is stacking corners vertically, catching the deep ball, tracking the deep ball. Niners don't really have that guy. And so I think Pearsall can track the deep ball, but he can't stack corners. That's not his skill set. He's horizontal separation. You go back and you watch, you know, Arizona State, you can watch all the Florida tape of Pearsall in the world, and it's just like, man, you're not seeing them stack corners ever vertically. It just doesn't happen. Sometimes on a slot fade, you can see it a little bit. But, man, I want Jordan Watkins to contribute. The best case situation for 49ers is if you're starting three wide receivers week one, is Juwan Jennings, Ricky Pearsall, Jordan Watkins. That's the best case scenario. That's what I want to see. I'm going to say pump your brakes, ladies and gentlemen. But I hope. And again, I'm going to keep pounding this drum. I hope I'm wrong. What are the chances that you would say Jordan Watkins can earn a starting spot this year?
Yeah, I think it's pretty minimal. You know, I think even listening to what he said during his introductory conversations with the media, he said the coach told him, Leonard Hakerson told him, it's going to be really hard for you to get on the field this year, Rook. That transition is big for the 49ers. I think that they're going to give him opportunities. You know, if he goes out there and shows up and shows out and he knows where to line up, he'll get into Kyle's good graces real quick, and they'll be willing to move up this depth chart. But he's got to jump over a couple of guys too, right? He's got to jump over DeMarcus Robinson. And I know that when it comes to Robinson, there's the potential suspension hanging over his head. Nothing has come down yet. And this is another guy that's showing out at OTAs. Yesterday, I guess he had a tremendous day. I did see the great pass that he caught from Brock Purdy, which Brock dropped it right in the bucket. But this is another veteran player that I think would be positioned to be one of those starting guys if we don't have, you know, something happen with his suspension. So we don't know what Roger Goodell and the NFL is going to do. But I think that Jordan Watkins, that would be a great scenario. If he stepped in and was able to make an impact as a rookie, that would be huge. I'm even okay with him just being a solid rotational piece and being able to contribute, you know, and get, you know, 10, 15 catches this year for over 230 yards. I think that would be a huge impact for the 49ers, threaten some teams vertically and prove that he can do that. Open up the middle of the field for Ricky Pearsall and Juwan Jennings and George Kittle and Christian McCaffrey. If you could get that out of him, I think everyone would feel confident. Then you could build into next year where you're going to need him to take a bigger role.
Yeah, and they've been looking for that. I mean, you could look at the drafting of Danny Gray to Jacob Cowing to where we're at now. Like, they want that. Even Chris Conley, somebody that can, that 4-4 speed that could threaten deep. There's so many clear out routes in this offense. Uncle Salty, I love this though. Jordan Watkins surprising us already, looks like a versatile and necessary addition of speed to the wide receiver corps. I love that. Now, Paul asked this, and I want to go back to this because this was a major issue last year, last offseason. Paul Hope, the legend. He says, when do we get concerned about Pearsall and the injuries? The soft tissue hamstrings. Pearsall had the fewest practices of any player last year. Even Isaac Garrido. They were the two guys that just never practiced last training camp because of these hamstrings. Hamstring. And that was even before he got shot. But I'm not overly concerned about Pearsall just because he put up so much good tape down the stretch. And he's worked very, very hard this offseason. But, man, I want him getting all those reps at that new, that Debo spot, that Z. So what are your thoughts on being concerned about Pearsall's soft tissue, reoccurring hamstring issues?
Yeah, this is something that players have to learn, especially young players, is you can't overdo it either, right? Recovery is a real thing. And we see a lot of these guys that push themselves too hard during the offseason, and then they've got to get their recovery in line. So I think Ricky Pearsall is going to have to figure it out. I think the way that Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch talked about it, I know it's difficult to trust them when it comes to injuries and timelines and everything, but the fact that they said he could have been able to play at mini camp if they really needed him to, I think that this is probably a low grade, completely something that's, you know, precautionary, that they just want to wait and get Pearsall ready to go for training camp. And that's really when we need him healthy. But I do think the training staff needs to make sure that they monitor this and let's keep his hamstrings in order, because we've seen Debo miss a lot of games because of hamstrings through the years. We don't want that from Pearsall. He needs to have a big role in this offense. He's very important. This is the year he has to step up and be that first-round talent the 49ers need. I think we saw, you know, glimpses of it last year, but we need to see it consistently. He needs to help Juwan Jennings out a lot, and they got to count on him. So they need to get him healthy, but this is a good reminder to all those young players, Grendel, Pearsall, any of these guys. You want to work like crazy during the offseason, but you also got to make sure you take care of your body and recover. That's where veterans can really help study those guys. That's why I love Nick Martin being right there with Fred Warner, understanding how he takes care of his body. That's one of the most important things. What do you do every single day after practice? And I think that that's something that Pearsall still needs to develop a little bit.
Yeah, there we go. The best ability, availability. You got to be there. Siggy, I love this comment. This makes me happy. Good morning, faithful. Listening at home in Montana on first day of retirement. Go Niners. Siggy, appreciate all the work you put in. Enjoy it. And, man, I freaking love it. One day we'll be like you, hopefully. one day, hopefully. I like this comment from Rusty. Maybe Nayer. Isaiah Nayer, the undrafted free agent, you know, 6'3", 210, blazing 4'4", flat 40, will push Watkins' needs. Or maybe Owens. His daddy says he's ready now. Yeah, like, this is the time for these height, weight, speed guys to kind of show off, because once those pads come on, those over-the-head catches are a little bit harder. The corners have bigger targets to jam. Quarterbacks don't put the ball right where you want it, all those different things. Like, the offense, the OTAs are time for the offense to kind of thrive.
Yeah, and, you know, what's up to Rusty? Rusty, one of my favorite people, for sure. And it is, Isaiah Nayer's an interesting guy, because you talk 6'4", 220 for 6'4", is a big frame, and then he runs a 4'4". So the athletic profile is there, and I think that if he would have showed up and showed out at Texas when he went there and not got injured, he could have been vastly different, his whole entire, you know, career going into the NFL. So this is a guy with a lot of potential, and Tariq Owens is kind of in that mold. And then there's also Isaiah Hodgins. We've got some big bodies this year that are competing, and they need somebody to kind of fit that Chris Conley role, that bigger physical, but still got enough speed to threaten vertically wide receiver. And I think that Nayer is a guy that could definitely do that. With his wingspan and his vertical, there is a potential for him to be able to make some plays down the field and go up and get some jump balls that I think the 49ers haven't really had in a long time. And so I think that that is interesting. That, you know, he's going to be in the mix. I like him. I want to see what happens when we get out to training camp, and I want to see if his physicality shows when he's going against cornerbacks. I also want to see what happens when he matches up with the Hyena, when you talk 6'4", 220 versus a shorter guy, because the Hyena, though, he gets right inside you, and I want to see how Nayer adjusts to having somebody right in his hip pocket all the time. Can he use that frame and get outside of his normal catch radius and be able to get some footballs? That will help him make the team. But with his athletic profile, I think he is one of those outliers that you have to keep an eye on. Like, they might take him on a flyer just because of his athletic skills, because if he shows up in preseason, another team might pick him up.
Yeah, I like that. And I was going to stay away from this, but when Uncle Salty speaks, I try to listen. He says, would love to know what both you guys think about Brandon Ayuk. Is he a locker room cancer, a good teammate going forward? Look, I can't stand social media. I hate it. I really do. I can't stand it. And I know somebody's like, oh, you're always on Twitter. I've tried to put like positive stuff out there as much as possible. And sometimes even I fall trap to, you know, negativity and whatever else. And that's something I'm always trying to work on as well. I hate all that stuff. And the one thing I will say is BA has so much credibility built up with this team because of what he's been through. Like, people forget, Brandon Ayuk was the training camp player of the year three consecutive off seasons in a row. Like, when this dude shows up, he plays. And the weird thing is, Brandon Ayuk doesn't talk. He's quiet. But social media, changes things. Don't look too much into that stuff. And the quicker you ignore that stuff, and the better life is. And I am not concerned at all about BA's attitude or antics or any of that kind of stuff. I don't think that it's an issue at all personally. And that's why I have not covered it. And the only reason why I'm saying something now is because salty ass, but it's not a concern for me whatsoever.
Yeah. You know, I didn't really pay it much mind, to be honest. I'm not one that goes into players' social medias or sees their social medias. And I know that there's a lot of people that do. They pay attention to the players all the time. You know, my content is more like, oh, they went golfing. I might see that pop up or whatever. Like, I don't really, you know, get into it. And I get it. You know, he posted the TO, you know, exercise thing in the driveway and all that. Honestly, I don't understand half of what's going on. I don't know who he's upset with. I don't know what's going on. All I know is when Brandon Ayuk is out there, I hope he plays well. And if this is something that's not going to affect the team, he can do whatever he wants to do on his social media. And I think with the pillars they have in the room, they're not concerned about Brandon Ayuk. Leonard Hankerson said he's acting as a coach right now and helping his teammates. He's around, which he has to be. So we'll see. We'll see what this thing happens to be. I think that there's a lot of conversation that I don't know, you know, how it pertains to the field. And I think that's one of the keys. And I don't think this is going to be anything. I think once the season starts, Brandon Ayuk is going to just, you know, plug in and he's going to get in where he fits in. And it's going to be fine.
Yeah, and the helping coach while he's out there injured and all that kind of stuff, like, I think that's huge. And so, like, people just remember, like, this is somebody that's been through a whole – yeah, I mean, you remember him and Fred Warner, like, fighting on the field and, like, just how much this dude cares about football? He cares. Now, yeah, the contract last year and whatever else, and, yeah, the poor performance and whatever else. Trust me, Brandon Ayuk wants to be out there more than anybody else. Like, as much as you want Brandon Ayuk back, Brandon Ayuk wants back more than that. And so I think that that is just paramount, and I think that's huge. And so just stick with that, and we'll be all right. Look at this, Tommy. John and Ant. It's like red beans and rice. I appreciate that. I love red beans and rice. So, like, yeah, bring it on. Now, usually, if I'm in the area that serves red beans and rice, I'm going for more of like a jambalaya. I'm going for, you know, some gumbo. That, but I ain't never mad at red beans and rice. I don't know about you, Aunt. You?
No, who hates on carbs? I don't know who hates on carbs. Like, nothing wrong with that. So we'll take it, Tommy. Yeah, I don't know exactly, you know, which one of us is the beans and which one's the rice, but we'll take it.
There we go. My man, David Waller from Switzerland, our local Cowboys fan. He's a good friend I used to teach with. David, have a great time. Say what's up to the wifey for me. You guys are the best. The Mayoko article about BA gives me some hope. We should have hope. And look at this. Chuck A. gifted a membership. That's what's up, man. People shared. I love it. I love it. I love it. And Rusty, hearing that he's helping solidifies that he meets the character that this organization is always looking for. Remember, it was Herm Edwards, John Lynch's best friend, that signed off on Brandon Ayuk way back in his time with Arizona State. And so this is, man, it's not an issue. People are trying to find clicks because there's no drama. And yeah, BA is kind of feeding that. But like, trust me, it's not a thing. It is not a thing. Oh, look at this. Phil, look at the super chat. Love me some Phil. Let me know when you get to Alfred Collins, my draft crush. Well, that time is right now. Talk to me about 9-5, Alfred Collins, probably the biggest dude on the team next to Trent Williams, which I also want to talk about that. What do you think about Alfred Collins?
Yeah, you know, I think that one thing that was interesting that came out of the conversations with the coaches was Chris Kocurek talking about the three tech needed to be a little bit longer. So our thought process on what Alfred Collins is going to play, there's a chance Alfred Collins is going to see some time at three tech, which is good news. That means he's going to have opportunities to play one and three or two eye. I think this is going to be fun for the 49ers. But I love the size of Alfred Collins combined with length and speed. And whenever you can get that trifecta, you're going to have a pretty good defensive lineman. I want to see what an upside of Alfred Collins is going to look like in a 49ers defense that has, you know, one of those things where you stop the run, yes, you stop the run on the way to the quarterback. That's a different type of mentality than what he played at Texas. And so now you're going to let this guy be free and able to go get the quarterback, which is not something he was allowed to do really in Texas. And let's see, sky's the limit for an athletic freak like this. And I know there's the concerns, a lot of people worried about the injuries. I think he's going to be good to go when it gets to training camp. We're going to see this guy out there making plays. And I think he's one of the defensive linemen, I think, has the best chance to start as a young guy. And so I'm excited. This dude's a monster. And if he can develop in the pass rush game the way I think he can, John, I think he can equal Malik Collins' 5 sacks from interior defensive lineman. I do have that much belief in him, even though he had 0 last year at Texas. I think he could be a huge upside when it comes to pass rush.
Yeah, and, you know, on our roster countdown, the 90-man, he's our highest-ranked rookie. We have him over Mikael Williams on impact on the 2025 season. Like, that's been – now, the question that I have is – and it's not Alfred Collins' question. It's an NFL CBA question. When are second-round picks going to sign? There's three. Three second-round picks have signed, and so far, out of all 32 – three have signed, because the NFL is now at an impasse where the first two guys that were drafted got fully guaranteed deals, which is new. And now everybody else, especially guys at the top like Alfred Collins, they're all sitting there. And so with Alfred Collins, it's a little bit different because he's not fully healthy. He's still got that calf strain that he's dealing with, but I don't think that's a long-term issue. It's just like, man, this is kind of pins and needles time, because what's going to, like, there are 29 second round picks that have not signed, and everybody is just holding their breath. Scares me a little bit.
Yeah. I mean, one of these guys is going to end up having to cross over and sign that contract. You know, somebody ahead of Alfred Collins that signs a contract that's not fully guaranteed. Once that happens, then I think everything will fall into place, and then it'll just be those select few. So say pick 38 decides, okay, I'm not going to take, it's not going to be a guaranteed contract. Well, then Alfred Collins won't get a guaranteed contract. That deal will be done. But those players between there, 34 to 37, will be still trying to get that. But right now, it presents an interesting dilemma for the NFL. The teams at the front part of the second round did everybody else no favors. Normally, these are done deals. But as fully guaranteed contracts are creeping in to more and more draft picks, it's going to make holdouts potentially something the 49ers worry about. I am glad that Alfred Collins is pick 43. And not pick 35 or 36, where this would probably be a foregone conclusion that he would hold out as long as possible to get a fully guaranteed contract. Because I don't know if the 49ers are willing to hand those out. So this is definitely something that we need to monitor, and I'm glad you brought that up, because this is a reason that he might not be out at training camp initially if they don't get something done. The good news, we have well over 40 days. I think it's like close to 50 days before training camp, so everything should be worked out hopefully by then.
You scare me when you talk about 40 days to training camp, and I just recorded roster countdown number 88, you're scaring me, man. Slick, he says, JC's reaction to the 49ers drafted Alfred Collins was epic, man. Me and Ant were together. I was pounding the Alfred Collins. I said he would have been my number one choice before the second round started. We did all right, Ant. We did all right. We got Mikael Williams. We got Alfred Collins. You got a lot of the later guys. Man, that was fun. I think I'm still tired from that draft event. I don't know if that was a lot of work, but it was a lot of fun. Look at this. Grand A says, you know what? I got to make it to the Saints game and get some of that official gumbo. We are going to have a seafood station at our event. I cannot wait to New Orleans. We are going. My wife don't need to know how much we spent on this trip already, but it's going to be great. And if you're going to any 49ers road game this year, you got to come with us.
49ers Rush Road Trip is going into its sixth year with over 40 events at road games. If you are traveling to see the 49ers play this year, you got to come party with us. And on top of that, we give games, trivia, giveaways. We've partnered with TickPick this year. All you have to do is search 49ers Rush on any of the TickPick sites, apps, you name it. And on top of all of that, best dressed, giveaways, autographed jerseys, kids are always included, and get in for free with a ticketed adult. And a lot of times for select cities, we will have 49ers legends come out and you get to meet and greet them and get autographed. Navarro Bowman, Frank Gore, Patrick Willis, Fred Warner are all players that we have worked with in the past. And trust me, if you want to build the 49ers community, you're traveling by yourself, we got you covered. 49ersRushRoadTrip.com.
Yeah! All right, we got a question here from Salty. Do you expect any other moves now between from now to training camp? Do you think there's going to be anything else going on? Do you think they're targeting other big player acquisitions like Bryce Huff or anything along those lines?
I don't know about big acquisitions, but I think everyone can expect roster moves to happen pretty consistently. This is just what they do. Players are going to get put on, you know, injured reserve. They're going to bring somebody else in. There's going to be a continual movement as they go through, especially when you get to training camp, because they want to evaluate players and then move on. And a lot of times they build a Rolodex of players they can go call on later. So I do think there'll be a lot of little moves. I think there is an opportunity just because we know they met with Gabe Davis that the 49ers could look at a wide receiver still, especially if something happens with Demarcus Robinson as we work toward training camp. 49ers might say, hey, we don't believe right now we have one of those guys that could step in at wide receiver. Let's get someone. I also wouldn't mind a tight end either. If they could find another move tight end, I think that would be something interesting. And I think there's a few names out there that could potentially be, you know, interesting for the 49ers. So I think there are a couple of tweaks here and there, but I don't know about big names. I don't know if anyone's going to, you know, be a big name that jumps out and the 49ers go land. So I think those are kind of, I'm just expecting these little moves right now.
Yeah, and once you get later, like closer to training camp, that's where they start churning the back end of the roster. We're not at that point yet. I think if I was just looking at positions that could really use starter or like literally one player gets injured depth, it would be wide receiver, but just early in the year in cornerback, outside corner. You got a lot of nickel guys, but I mean, you're one injury away from Darrell Luter Jr. starting at outside corner. So like those are the two. You've got a lot of bodies. You've got a lot of young pups in there. It's just, I would sleep better at night, Ant, if we had another outside wide receiver or another outside corner. Those are the two spots where I'm just like,
Yeah, I'm keeping an eye on too. I don't know if you've done any work yet on Dallas Flowers, but I'm keeping an eye on him because of his relationship with Gus Bradley. Right, last year it was Isaac Yedem that had the relationship, with his coach, and he came in. And the reason I say that is because there was a lot of conversation in 2023 about Flowers potentially developing into a starter before he got injured. And of course, last year he just wasn't healthy enough to be able to compete. They ended up bringing Sam Womack in to start. But I think that connection with Gus Bradley gives me a little bit of at least a eye on him just to see what he could do. I'm not saying he will start, but I think it's an interesting or make the team. I'm just saying he's an interesting player because he does have special teams upside too. He was a kick returner with the Colts as well. So that's one of the ways you make this team. Darrell Luter Jr., not a great special teams player. Well, one of these other guys maybe competes with them and ends up being a special teams guy. So he's somebody that I'm kind of keeping my eye on as we work towards training camp to see if maybe he could be a back end of the roster depth corner who understands the system because he played for Gus Bradley.
Man, long arms, 6'1", 200 pounds, 4.4 speed. You're checking a lot of boxes. Coming off the Achilles in 2023, has it been that full year? Is he back? We'll see. I have him. He's in my 80s on the roster countdown. But again, he's like one of those guys with an asterisk. You know what I mean? It's like, hey, this is a teacher's pet. You know what I mean? Like, they like him. And there's a lot of those guys. Trey Brown, you know, you talk about like him. Can he stay healthy? The tape is good. Like, he fits the outside corner role. It's just, man, you've got all these guys that have some type of question mark. And it's just like, they've got all these lottery tickets, and they just need one or two to hit. They just need one or two. And I'm very, very anxious just to see what that's going to look like. And hopefully one of them comes up. Now, look at this for Paul Hope. What are we expecting from Saleh in this defense? Now, the draft, you focused almost solely on top-end defensive talent early on in the draft. Now you go trade for Bryce Huff. Where are we at with holistically? We talked to players and hype with that. What's the hype level of the defense overall? You were terrible last year. You gave up the most rushing touchdowns in franchise history. You were dead last, 32nd in fourth quarter points allowed. It just wasn't great. So where do we kind of put this thermostat on Robert Saleh's defense? Is top 10 too crazy at this point?
I think it's a little early to say top 10. I think that you can, at the addition of Robert Saleh, definitely jumps you up from where you were last year. I mean, that's easy to say. I think that you have some question marks. We just brought up cornerback. We don't know what the three corners are going to be when you're in your sub packages. Is it going to be Trey Brown or is it going to be Upton Stout? If it's Upton Stout, well, that means you've improved a lot because Diamondo Lenore is going to stay on the outside and Upton Stout beat, you know, or at least played up to the level they believe he could be a big time player out there. So I think that there's question marks with the secondary right now until we know how these guys are going to play. I do have a lot of faith in Gus Bradley and Robert Saleh and what they're going to add to this team. I've seen, you know, Johnny Holland and Chris Kocurek develop guys in the past. They have to do it again. And I think that they got a lot of speed at linebacker. Now they've added some proven commodities like, you know, a guy like Bryce Huff coming off the edge. And they drafted a high draft pick in Mikel Williams and Alfred Collins. And they've done the right things. But now they got to bring it together. They've got to marry this thing together. And I think they have a really good plan. And I do think there's going to be an improvement. But it's going to have to gel for them to be a top 10 defense. There's also things that happen with top 10 defense also happen because of the offense. The offense is going to have to run the ball and use the clock and not leave the defense out there very long. So this is one of those things where it's complementary football and it plays into it. But if they can get it all together, then yeah, they have the talent to be a top 10 defense, but some rookies are going to have to step up and play some significant snaps and we'll see if they can do that.
Yeah. And you know, Paul, my initial question is yes. But, like, if you look at last year's debacle, the 49ers were eighth in total yards. You know what I mean? Like, there are certain metrics. Like, what do you mean top 10? Well, you were 29th out of 32 teams in points allowed. That's probably the number one metric, right? Like, stop teams from scoring points. If you score more than the other team, you win every game. That's the simplistic approach. But, yeah, like, in total yards, EPA, like, where are we going with that? I think in certain caveats, they will be. And I would argue the biggest change. Last year, the 49ers gave up 24 rushing touchdowns, most in franchise history. That ranked 30th in the NFL and was just a few away from being dead last. That is the change. Stopping teams, and again, back to Alfred Collins. I'm a Longhorn fan, and I always, you know, let my bias out there. The thing that makes Alfred Collins special isn't his size, isn't his durability, 64 out of 65 games, experience, whatever else. No, it's when the biggest game is in the biggest moment, Alfred Collins is right in the thick of it every single time. You need that fourth down stop. You need the goal line stop. You need what, like, that is his time to shine. Big time players make big time plays and big time moments, and that's Alfred Collins. So you're adding that, and man, you go back to the SEC championship game last year, Georgia and Texas, they're fighting to the death in overtime. Three of the biggest plays of the entire game in fourth quarter and overtime, two were Mikel Williams and one was Alfred Collins. Like, the biggest stage of college football for the most part. The SEC championship, those dudes showed out against each other, and we drafted them both. So can you – the thing – okay, I'm going to be mad right here. Sorry, I'm going to upset some of you guys. My least – the lowest point of the entire season for me last year was that Seattle game at home when you're up 10 and you lose it. Because you allow Geno Smith, of all people, to scramble and break contain and just go ham against you and score a touchdown down the stretch. Like, that was the lowest point in the entire season. That and then probably the Rams game. That's not going to happen this year with Nick Martin, with Mikel Williams, with Bryce Huff, with Alfred Collins, with C.J. West. Like, those types of things that happened, you're removing. And so does that catapult you to top 10? I don't know. But I could sit there and I have this image burned into the back of my head. And it's like, these guys are not going to allow those things to happen. And so that is what gives me hope, is you're not going to be soft when it matters most. You were the worst fourth quarter team in the NFL last year, in the entire NFL. You went out and you got gamers that show up in the biggest moments when it matters most. You didn't have that. Nick Sorensen, Pet Rock, wasn't it. You moved on. Now you got Saleh. Now you got some players. That's probably what I'm most excited about this defense. Is there anything else that stands out to you that you're like, this is what I want to see that looks different?
Yeah, I think, you know, last year they brought in Brandon Staley because of how good his defenses had been on third down. And now you go out and you get some guys who are going to play well on third down, whether that's rushing the passer with Bryce Huff, you know, moving Mikel Williams inside. Those guys are closers when you're talking getting to the quarterback, especially Huff. And then you've got the addition of short yardage stoppers like Alfred Collins and CJ West. Those are going to be big. Mikal Williams setting a firm edge when it comes to playing defensive end. This is going to be huge for the 49ers, stopping on third down, whether it's short yardage or third and long. They've got the guys to do it now, and that's exactly what you have to do to get off the field. But also, red zone defense was terrible last year, absolutely awful. Some of that was scheme. Some of that was the guys up front that just couldn't hold up when it came to stopping the run. Now they've got those bodies. They've got those individuals. And, John, you know, when you build big defensive linemen on the inside, guys who could set the edge and occupy blockers with super fast athletic linebackers, you have the opportunity for negative plays and no gains because those linebackers can run free. And I'm super excited about that. I love the way that they're building the team because you can see the plan. You can see the method to the madness. Whenever you can do that, then you can start, kind of projecting what these guys are going to do. So some of those metrics, getting off the field on third down, huge. Winning in the red zone, huge. And I think that's what they've really addressed early on with the pickups that they've had during the offseason.
Yeah. I like that right here. Stop the run. Have some fun. Stop the pass. Kick some stuff. Hey, there we go, John. There we go. I see where you go with that. And I like it. I like it. Now, Ant, before we wrap this show up, I want to make sure there's no other player or situation you want to go over. I don't want to cut you short here.
Yeah, there is just one thing I want to talk about. It's the linebacker position for a second, because we've talked about Nick Martin a ton. But one of the things that has been interesting has been the conversations around D. Winters and the fact that they've talked about how he's the most improved. And this is coming from the coaches, the most improved linebacker in the room. And I think that is a good sign for the 49ers because, right now Nick Martin is the shiny new toy. But if Robert Saleh and Johnny Holland could get the most out of D. Winters, this dude is hyper-athletic and hyper-talented too. If you could have two of these guys, especially at year one, and I'm not saying D. Winters has to play Will linebacker the whole time, but if you could have him play a lot of those snaps because he's really good in coverage, and then you could kind of play Nick Martin in there as well, I think it would be very, very interesting to get those guys. And thanks so much, David V, 45 months a member. That is absolutely fantastic. I mean, that's true legend status right there.
Beast. The 951 representing, man.
Yeah.
How cool is that? 45 months? Dang.
45 months, right? Yeah, I don't know. That might be a record right there for me. That's crazy. Huge. And I do want to see D. Winters, what he could do. And the other one is Tatum Bethune. And I think Tatum Bethune gets lost because he had some struggles last year. Everyone knows his coverage issues. But Fred Warner talked about the fact that he reshaped his body. And so I want to see what that looks like. Sometimes these guys don't know how to prepare for the NFL correctly. So what does he look like now that they've kind of molded him? Because I think those are interesting. But I love that they got young players that can compete and speed all over the place with Winters and Nick Martin.
Yeah. Who starts next to Fred in that nickel set week one? Who's going to be that guy early? Maybe not late. But
I think it's going to be D. Winters. I do. I have kind of thought this process that D. Winters is going to start. I think he's going to have some improvements because of Saleh, and also the defensive line in front is going to make it easier for him. He's not a great stack and shed guy, right? He's a guy that's an avoidance guy. So this is going to be huge for him. But I do think that they're going to put Nick Martin out there as they feel more comfortable. So we might end up seeing like a 60-40 split by the time the season ends with D. Winters and Nick Martin as they kind of continue to work these guys through and play matchups that they like, whether that's a coverage game or getting Nick Martin in there to help with if they believe a team's going to go 11 personnel to run the ball more. You can kind of use these guys and integrate them together to have a really good nickel unit, whether that's stopping the run or the pass.
Man, I love where the battle is fought in the open, and to the victor goes the spoils. Like, I forget who it was. It was, I think it might have been Jalen Moore and Tom Compton. I could be wrong. It might have been Colton McKivitz, where they were rotating the right guard spot, and everybody wanted Jalen Moore to win, and it was 100% Tom Compton, right? And it, like, he won that job, and it was like, well, all right, we were wrong on that one. It was Tom Compton the whole time. Like, and again, I'm being selfish here because I know that they have practices and they work through all this and whatever else. But, like, dude, I would love to give each one of them two series and just keep rotating until, hey, it's pretty clear who the guy is. Like I like that personally just because it's out front and I feel like it solves the issues for the players in front of all the fans and just whatever else. But I'm not saying they should do that. I'm saying I selfishly want that to happen and just whoever wins, wins. But man, I think D Winters, I think he's probably going to be that guy. They were talking about, Fred Warner was talking about D Winters last offseason at this point, and then they bypassed him for a guy that just doesn't care about football or team at all. And again, back to Nick Sorensen, gosh, man, how badly could you have messed that situation up? Anyway, all right, I'm going to calm down. Everything's nice. Everything's okay. It's been a fun show, man. And the hype, I love it. And, you know, this isn't even a question, but shout out to Jacob Gordon. Coaching staff upgraded. Talent upgraded. Roster still a little thin. I agree there. But excited by the good vibes. Happy, optimistic about the general direction of this organization. Yes, yes, yes. We haven't been here. This is a new place in the offseason at this moment. And just enjoy it. I'm not sure how it's going to last. Some kind of crazy news is going to come out of somewhere at some point. Just prepare for it. But, man, right now it's kind of nice. And I am hopeful about the 49ers season and the offseason. We still got training camp, mandatory camp. There's a lot more to go. But I hope the hype continues to build, man. I don't know. Are you want things to keep getting the hope level up? But, well, you know, hope is a dangerous thing, Andy Dufresne. Like, where are you at on this?
Yeah, I want the hope. You know, I want the positive vibes to keep rolling. Because I do think that there's a lot to like. There's a lot of young players, the 49ers, you know, need to count on. But if those guys hit, they do have the potential to win a lot of football games and be, you know, a factor in the NFC West and be a factor in the NFC playoff picture. And we've seen it happen before. There has been young players for the 49ers that contributed in big ways. And that's in the Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch regime. I mean, Deebo Samuel was very impactful in 2019. And so I think that when you get guys like him and Dre Greenlaw, you're always optimistic that your players are going to do that in the past or in the future. We don't know for sure, but I think it's always a good thing to go in. You look at this schedule, it's favorable. You look at this team, they've done a good job. The coaching staff, great job. I'm excited about it. I'm excited about 49ers football again. There's no hangover from, you know, anything that happened in the offseason. It's all working towards a positive thing. Let's go see if they can do it. Let's go see if they have this thing figured out and how much an improvement they made in one season. Can they go from worst to first? It happens every year. Why not us?
Why not us? Why not us? I love it. I love it. Ant, you are the best. Everybody go check out 40 Hours Comeback Patreon channel and YouTube channel and audio podcast channel, wherever. Make sure you hit subscribe, support Ant. He's the best in the business. Appreciate your positivity and teaching me all things football. And for everybody else, enjoy the hype. Man, buy in. Get overzealous. I ain't even mad about it at all. But until next time, thank you guys for your time. Stay strong, faithful.
If you're the purchasing manager at a manufacturing plant, you know having a trusted partner makes all the difference. That's why, hands down, you count on Grainger for auto reordering. With on-time restocks, your team will have the cut-resistant gloves they need at the start of their shift. And you can end your day knowing they've got safety well in hand. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.